Remember when President Trump announced he was pulling out of the Paris Climate Agreement? And French President Emmanuel Macron responded with this message to American scientists and engineers?
I want to say that they will find in France a second homeland. I call on them, come and work here with us.
Macron's message seemed like a bold move to recruit U.S. talent and position Europe as a leader in climate policy. But it also echoed an American strategy from a quarter century ago. In the waning years of the Soviet Union, the U.S. began recruiting Soviet experts for jobs in nuclear physics, mathematics, and defense. The World's Daniel Gross recently visited Maryland to meet one of them.
Andrei Afanasyev always tried to keep physics separate from politics. He says he followed physics the way a donkey follows hay. He didn't care where he went, as long as he got a steady diet of science. Luckily, his dad was a scientist and took him to picnics.
Picnics with physicists, they were talking about everything that was interesting to them, so it was like a different world.
Once, his dad brought home some accelerator shielding. Afanasyev used it to cook chicken. But science wasn't always fun. He grew up in Ukraine, back when it was part of the Soviet Union. While Afanasyev was a university student, towards the end of the Cold War, the Soviet nuclear power plant at Chernobyl exploded. It was only a few hundred miles away. His dad's dosimeter, an instrument that measures radiation, was suddenly in high demand.
So we had all these neighbors coming in and asking him to check them for radiation levels.
In the Soviet era, scientists had status. Even though Afanasyev didn't work on nuclear weapons, he had a stable job and special access to rations. But the stability started to slip away when the Berlin Wall fell. The Soviet Union dissolved, and Afanasyev's monthly salary only amounted to $30 in the new economy.
Borders became open. Then you realize how miserable you are.
The United States capitalized on post-Soviet misery. American scientists visited former Soviet laboratories with a message. If your country doesn't have jobs for you, come work with us.
The scientists all fled to the West. Not all of them, but maybe 80%.
One day, American scientists visited Afanasyev's lab in Ukraine. They invited him to work as a visiting scientist at a $500 million government laboratory called Jefferson Labs.
So my wife and my daughter came with a little suitcase for these 3 months. And so we stayed another 3 months and then said, okay, here's a 6 month extension. Okay. And it ended up to be 17 years.
Sometimes Afanasyev missed his home country of Ukraine. Before his father passed away, the two men used to talk about physics on the phone.
Typical conversation, hi, how is mom, how is sister, what's going on? Then we said, okay, so what's new in this form factor measurement? And he was always asking questions. I'm always trying to find an answer.
You must miss that, being able to call him up and ask him, or sort of toss ideas at him.
After he passed away, I've been talking to him for about 3 years, I think, in my head.
Still, homesickness or not, Afanasyev's priority was to follow the science. In the U.S., he looked for new ways to apply particle physics. He worked on defense projects and tried to improve the safety of nuclear power plants. Today, he's a professor at George Washington University. This year, Afanasyev plans to convert his green card into U.S. citizenship. One reason is that his sons are American teenagers. He's also working for defense projects that require security clearance. He still hasn't managed to separate politics and physics. When Russia seized Crimea from Ukraine in 2014, U.S.-Russia relations became icy once again. Russian scientists were no longer allowed in American government labs unless they'd been here long enough to get American citizenship.
When you come to the cafeteria, there is a lot of Russian speech in the cafeteria, but people who are speaking Russian are actually American citizens now.
Growing up, Afanasyev never paid much attention to nationality. He viewed Ukrainians and Russians as one and the same. But now there's a big difference. And whenever violence breaks out between the two countries, it feels personal.
That's a disaster. This shouldn't happen. And somebody failed there, and I cannot point the finger who failed. Maybe it's my fault also because I left my country.
Do you feel that as a scientist pursuing scientific opportunity, you were a part of that problem? That surprises me a little bit.
Yeah, sure. I mean, if you're a citizen of your country and you care what is going on there, you should be there and help to solve the problem.
Afanasyev isn't planning to move back to his country of birth, but he's trying to build a bridge between the U.S. and Ukraine. He wants to recruit a new generation of Ukrainian scientists to work here, and he hopes that both countries can benefit. For The World, Daniel Gross, Gaithersburg, Maryland.